for your weekly dose of Wayne's Comics.
Welcome to episode 596 of the Wayne's Comics Podcast. Thanks so much for listening. This week, Ed Brisson returns to the podcast, and we discuss his upcoming Alpha Flight from Marvel, as well as his current DC title, Batman Incorporated. Ed is a comic book writer who first started to garner attention with his self-published crime series, Murder Book. He's written many other books for Shadowline Image, including Comeback, Sheltered, The Field, The Mantle, and The Violent. He's also written for DC, Marvel, Boom, IDW, Aftershock, and many others. Ed and I talk about his current comics, including Batman Incorporated and Alpha Flight, so don't miss this fun conversation with an in-demand comics creator. There's a lot to get to in this episode, so let's get on with the show. Following July's X-Men Hellfire Gala number 1, mutant kind will enter a thrilling new era of uncertainty, danger, and mystery known as Fall of X. In the ensuing chaos, a beloved Marvel superhero team rises once more. Alpha Flight will reassemble to navigate the dark times that have befallen mutant kind. Alpha Flight's new chapter, which is a 5-issue miniseries, will be written by Ed Brisson, who I welcome back to the podcast. How you doing, Ed?
I'm doing great. And how about yourself?
Good, good. You know, the last time you and I talked, it's been a while. We talked back in 2015. You were doing The Mantle with Image Comics. You were doing Cluster with Boom Studios, Sheltered with Image, and you were self-publishing a murder book, which came out through Dark Horse. So you were busy back then, just as you are right now.
That was a while. That's 8 years. Wow.
Yeah, that's I was looking. I didn't want to say here. I was shocked when I found out I've been doing this thing for 12 years now. I'm in my 12th year, and the thing about podcasting is you're always living in the future. What's going to happen this weekend when my podcast comes out? And so I didn't realize until I started talking with somebody, and I realized, wait a minute, I started like 12 years ago. Oh my goodness, I can't believe that. I feel old all of a sudden with that. So
I hear you.
So let's talk about that. You've got several things going on. They talk about your work on Predator and that you were one of the creators who helped launch the Krakoan era, the incredible success with New Mutants. So you return to the mutant kind of world. And so, Ed, talk about all this. Not everybody keeps up with all the X books and how they're going. Where does Alpha Flight fit into all this?
So Alpha Flight... So I may get in trouble here because I'm never sure how much I'm supposed to reveal or not reveal what's going on in the X books. But essentially, you know, there's sort of this brewing sort of schism between humankind and mutant kind with everything that's been going on in Krakoa over the last few years in the comics. And there is a push basically to boot mutants off Earth, you know, not necessarily just off Earth, you know, maybe off certain nations who sign on with this sort of agreement that's coming. And so the way that Alpha Flight fits into it is Canada has sort of signed on for a myriad of reasons to ban mutant kind from within Canadian borders. And so we bring in Alpha Flight, the non-mutant members of Alpha Flight are brought in to enforce these laws. So we have Guardian, Puck, Snowbird, and Shaman as our four key members of Alpha Flight here. The team does expand as the series goes on, but I'll sort of hold back on who else is going to be on the team just to... entice readers to pick the book up and check it out for themselves.
Well, according to the news release from Marvel, And I'll take their word as official on this. There's a schism that pits the heroes you've mentioned against their former teammates, and it lists them, Aurora, Northstar, and Nemesis, as well as Aurora's beau by the name of Fang.
Yes.
That's what
they're not. They're not on Alpha Flight. So they're in the Alpha Flight book. So the core, the sort of, I guess, official Alpha Flight team is the four that I mentioned, Guardian, Shaman, Snowbird, and Puck. They are working against their former teammates, Northstar, Aurora, Fang, and Nemesis, who three of them at least are mutants and are sort of working in opposition to the Alpha Flight team to rescue mutants who have been left behind for one reason or another, to save them from prosecution and to, you know, help whisk them off to some sort of mutant paradise.
Okay, so, all right, so this is a five-issue miniseries, I understand. Is there any chance that if this does well, that you might get an ongoing?
I mean, if everyone listening goes out and buys about 5,000 copies, I think we can make it happen. I think that if, you know, if the sales are there, you know, Marvel's always willing to continue to keep a thing going. You know, I would love to continue the book. I think that we leave at the end of the five issues, which I'm not going to get into, but we leave things in a very interesting place that would be a lot of fun to explore. But, you know, the sales would have to be there. And, you know, I'm, you know, being a Canadian myself, I love Alpha Flight. But, you know, I know that they're kind of got a niche or a more cult audience that, you know, can sustain a mini, but I don't, you know, past attempts to relaunch an Alpha Flight series have not always been successful.
Right. So might you get like another mini series or something like that? Maybe do it on an occasional mini series.
Yeah, that would be amazing. If that happens, I'm not, holding my breath, but definitely, would love to see that happen.
Okay, well, why don't we talk about the Sasquatch in the room?
there's a guy
that, yeah, he's missing. What? As I understand, last time I saw Sasquatch, it was in the Hulk book. He was part of a Gamma group that was out there. So, what's the official word on where Sasquatch is?
So the word really right now is that Walt isn't Sasquatch anymore. It's I believe Doc Samson is Sasquatch now. And so Walt is kind of off on his own thing. So he is the one. I know he's a big sort of hole in the book, but yeah, unfortunately, he is not appearing in the book because he has his own adventures going on.
Okay, if people want to follow him, is there some Marvel book in specifically that they can find him in?
You know what? I'm not 100% sure where he's at right now. I just know, unfortunately, for what I need, you know, I had attempted to use him. I had some plans, but it just couldn't make it fit with the story that we were telling and where he was at the time.
Okay. So that'll be something to keep our eyes out for and see what happens. I'm kind of curious because this is kind of a bookend to you were involved in the launching of the Krakoan era with New Mutants and stuff, and now here you are doing stuff with which is a shift in the X-Men. Talk about that. What's it like to actually have brought this whole storyline to be, and now here you are down the road coming back in and trying to tell stories at a different stage?
Yeah, it's a lot of fun. You know, like for me, you know, even though I was involved in the sort of start of this Krakoan era, it's largely, you know, a Jonathan Hickman baby, right? And I got to just kind of be along for the ride at co-writes and then take over New Mutants for a little while. So it was cool to be there because it was a really exciting time. But I'd also been writing a bunch of X-Men stuff for a while. So it was just an interesting switch, you know, when we brought in this entire, you know, when Hickman planned this entire change to the line of X-Men to have been there writing the old and then kind of writing the new stuff. And then, you know, to be brought back, you know, for this Fall of X event and to, you know, I've never, I've written Alpha Flight in Old Man Logan. I did bring him in periodically, but to write sort of an X adjacent book, I guess, in this era is, it just feels like a nice, it's a term I'm looking for, like a nice, I've lost it. I've lost my language.
That's all right.
It feels a nice end cap, you know, for my time on writing X stuff. You know, that's not to say I'll never write X stuff again or anything like that, but it feels like, you know, to be here for these bookends, it's just a real privilege.
So are you still writing Predator? Where's that?
Yeah, I'm still writing Predator. The second series is, I think, about halfway through right now. That has been a pretty incredible journey. I had started writing it pretty early in the pandemic. I've been given a lot of sort of leeway. You know, I created a new character named Theta, who is essentially a predator hunter. And, you know, the first arc was largely sort of establishing herself as a, I guess, a viable enemy or a viable combatant against predators. And the second series is putting her back on her heels a little bit as she's dealing with not just predators, but a group of humans that she's trying to save from a predator hunting preserve planet, like the one that we've seen in the past in the movie Predators. And so it's been a lot of fun, to really play around with that mythology and build upon it. I'm a really big Predator fan my entire life. You know, I saw the first film in the drive-in theater when I was fairly young. And, you know, it's actually just one of those books that I'd always wanted to get a crack at, and have been thrilled to just be part of it. I've been lucky enough to work with Kev Walker, who's an incredible artist. And Neto Diaz on this latest run has been a real great addition to the team. He's an artist who's fairly new to me. I hadn't been familiar with his art beforehand, but absolutely just incredible. Draws a killer predator.
Any chance you're going to cross over Predator and Alpha Flight?
No chance right now. You know, never say never, but. I don't know that there's any, I don't know. Like, I know Marvel is doing a Predator versus Wolverine, but I'm not sure how much further they're going to be going with Predator versus or introducing Predator to the Marvel universe.
Okay. That's going to be interesting to see. Cause that's, you know, usually when there's monster books, they keep them separate. Like they had Aliens. Alien, I think, just came out. Philip Kennedy Johnson was doing it. Now somebody else is doing it. But you don't see
Declan Shalvey,
But you don't see the Marvel characters in there with them. They're usually completely separate. Like the old Fin Fang Foom days and all those good things. They keep them separate. So I'll be curious to see if that Wolverine crossover happens. That'll be something to see. It'll be amazing. Now, if I can ask a question or two, because I loved Alpha Flight when it first came out from John Byrne. I love the characters. I love teams in other parts of the world. I like Excalibur that was in Britain. Yeah. There were all these ones that were all over the place, and I always loved them. But over time, you know, it just feels like people have to dilute them and change them and try to keep them alive and stuff like that. But when they do it, I lost interest. One of the things that happened to me when I because there's all these different flights going on. There's Beta Flight and Omega Flight and a lot of stuff. But the thing that I got lost in was the fact that the Guardian became the original Guardian's wife. The wife took over as Guardian and started wearing the suit. And where is she now? Because apparently what's his name? James, I can't remember his name, top of my head.
Hudson?
Yeah, James Hudson. What is she doing? Is she around or what's happened with that?
So that is a good question that I'm just going to tiptoe around. Because, she at the end of the last Alpha Flight series had taken off with their daughter Claire, because she had been duped into been duped into doing some evil stuff and was trying to kind of deal with it. And I believe she believes she might have been a clone. Anyway, so she took off with their daughter, Claire. And so hasn't really been seen since. We did do Alpha Flight True North, where I did a story involving Mac, Hudson, Heather, and Claire, where he'd had her sort of going through simulations, trying to sort of like bring her back. But that sort of like when I wrote that story, it wasn't always intended to be like hard continuity. It was sort of like meant to just be like a side thing. But yeah, there's I'm aware of where she is. But you know, readers will have to read to find out where she is.
That leads me to a question, though. It's one of the things I have trouble with, particularly when it comes to the mutants and stuff like that. In order to be able to understand everything going on in the mutant books, you pretty much have to have some idea what's been going on in the comics for like 20, 30, 40 years. Because all of a sudden, something will happen that harkens back to something that was like 30, 40 years ago. And I look at it and I go, oh, I don't remember that. And all of my friends go, oh, yeah, you, this is this, this, that. And I'm kind of like, Now, the thing I'm curious about is how close to the original group. You've got all the original team, except for, of course, Sasquatch, who can't be there. But you've got all the pretty much the original team there, which, of course, gladdens my original Alpha Flight heart, believe me. How close are they going to be to who they were back in the beginning? How different are they? You know, what kind of things are you working with the characters?
Yeah, I don't think, you know, like, obviously the characters have all grown and evolved since the first Alpha Flight series back in the 80s. I think, you know, Guardian is still kind of Guardian, right? He's still, I think he's been fairly consistent throughout, and same with Puck, Shaman, Snowbird, I guess. You know, I think the twins have evolved quite a bit from their first appearances. They're less like, you know, when they debuted, I don't know how much people outside of Canada would have really picked up on how they were sort of these stereotypical stuck-up French. I don't know. Like, they're just like this stereotype of a stuck-up French person, right? Which is not a stereotype that really holds water, you know?
Right.
And I'm not saying that because most of my family is French and are absolutely not like that. But I think they were, you know, there was some sort of, you know, some of that to them that's sort of been shed over the years. I think they're much more well-rounded characters now. So I think that, you know, the North Star and the Aurora and Fang, you know, that we're going to see are all much closer to how they've been portrayed in the X-books recently.
Okay.
But, you know, as to like things that have happened a long time ago that you're talking about that you need to know in order to read books, I think, you know, for any good book, typically, you know, you want to make it as new reader accessible as possible. And I think this book is new reader accessible. All the information you need is going to be there in the book. You know, but I think that there's nothing wrong with dropping in, you know, Easter eggs for a long time fans, as long as it only like it enriches the story and doesn't take away from the story. You know, I've certainly seen what you're talking about where the, you know, there's a bit of information dropped in the middle of a book that, you know, if you're new to a title, you'll never know what the hell it means because, you know, you haven't been reading, you know, whatever, you know, Flying Man, you know, since issue one back in 1940 or whatever it is. So I, you know, I definitely try and avoid that. I try and make it as accessible as possible while ensuring that, you know, we're still satisfying, you know, what fans, longtime fans of the book are looking for when they come to it.
I got a question about North Star. I remember Marvel made a big deal when he got married.
Yes.
Are they still married? What's the situation?
Kyle, his husband, Kyle. Yeah, they're still married. Kyle's in the book. So they, you know, they work on as partners on a lot of stuff. So yeah, he's there, still married. Everything's going great for them.
Good. Now, the one that I don't know much about and the one who's not part of the original group is Fang. Yes. Who is Fang, and what do we know about him before we pick up the book?
So Fang is Logan's son. Up until recently, he was known as Daken, D-A-K-E-N. And so he, over in Marauders, which was on the X-Books, he and Aurora they're basically romantically entwined. They've had a relationship that's been going on, I don't know, for probably as long as the series has been going on, maybe a little bit longer. And so, you know, he and Aurora are quite tight, and that's why he is here helping Aurora and Northstar in their mission to try and save, Canadian mutants and try and bring them to safety. He was redubbed Fang recently by the Shi'ar Empire through some like machinations that are not necessarily important to our story for you to understand. But if, you know, if readers are curious why his name is now Fang, it was, he had, killed the previous, Fang or a different Fang and sort of had been, given his name by the Shi'ar Empire. And so he has a relationship with the Shi'ar Empire, which is something that it will be important to our book.
Okay. I'm sort of curious because, you know, we've got basically two different groups involved, and they're sort of at odds with each other. And knowing how team books tend to go, is that going to remain the same throughout the miniseries, or is there going to be some coming together, going apart? Are people going to change teams? What kind of things can we look forward as far as like group dynamics?
Oh man, you want me to just like, spoil it? I can't do that. Well, you know what? They're at odds. They have mm-hmm. very different goals. One is working for Department H and doing what they think is the best for Canada. And the other is doing what they think is best for mutant kind. And I'm just kind of leave it there. You know, there are some dynamics within each team that will sort of stress things and push each other. But everything changes and evolves as a story continues.
Yeah, I enjoy that kind of storytelling. I like it when I see groups and individuals grow and change and relationships evolve and go over. That's why I asked that question. I don't necessarily want to be spoiled. I just want to.
Sure.
Is that an element that we might actually see a little bit of as far as the characters and their working together?
There'll definitely be some changes and some growth throughout, but I'm not going to. I won't give anything away. Yeah.
Okay, that's good. Yeah, I'm looking forward to that. Now, you were telling me before we started to record, I think that this book is actually going to come out the end of July and not August, as I think it was originally set.
I think so. I'm terrible for knowing these things. I normally find out a book I'm writing is out when like someone mentions something to me on Twitter or something like that. I'm mm-hmm. terrible with that sort of stuff. Mm-hmm. I don't know. The final order cutoff, which we were talking about beforehand, appears mm-hmm. mm-hmm. to be July 17th. That tells me it's out in August. So it is out in August, I think.
Okay, July 17th. Okay, that's good to know. Okay, because that's going to be something interesting. So, and it's monthly, I assume. So it's going to be. It's going to go basically through, if it starts in August and goes through, it'll go to almost the holiday season pretty much.
That's right. It should go through December. And I just found it looks like it maybe comes out August 16th.
Okay. Okay. Well, you know, these things are all possible to change.
Sure. You know, we're learning things together here.
Paper shortages. Yeah. The distribution.
We're hopefully past most of that. Fingers crossed.
Yeah, as soon as I say that, though, then books start coming out. You said it was going to be out on such a date, and then it doesn't. So I'm always – I always like to throw a little caveat in there that maybe we're aiming for this to happen, but things change over time. And so we want to be sure to make people aware of it because I'm so interested in this group, and I'm so fascinated to see how this goes. Just because, like I said, I have been a fan of Alpha Flight and the original group ever since it first came out from John Byrne. And I have been, you know, and I lost track of them after all this other stuff and things started to change. And I just, you know, it's so nice to see that most of the original characters come back and actually deal with, because see, Canada to me is a whole nother place, because I'm an American, and as always the case with us Americans, we look at America and then we don't quite understand the rest of the world. And so one of the things I always enjoyed about Alpha Flight was to give me a little bit of insight into Canadian thought and Canadian heroics and what people expect up in Canada and stuff. So for me, I'm so looking forward to this window of into the Canadian mindset and what they expect from heroes and other people too. So it's going to be really fun for me. I think that you being a Canadian and writing this is going to be, you know, helpful for me to understand what's happening, you know, in Canada, at least a little bit. I don't go there to learn everything about Canada. I need to, but I love the different perspective and storytelling. And I think you're going to do a great job of at least getting my toe in the water as to what Canada is about.
Sure. Yeah. Like we're not getting, you know, it's not a ton of Canadian culture stuff, but there's definitely some of it in some of that in there and some of how I think we maybe approach things slightly differently than, you know, you folks down south. But yeah, you know, being a Canadian, it's like it's sort of a, you know, Canadian comic creator. It's sort of the dream to write this book. So, you know, I'm absolutely thrilled.
Well, I hope it's successful enough that we get a lot more of it, because I, as I said, I've been a fan of these characters ever since they first were printed on the paper. And so for me, I want to see a lot more of them. And I think you're the guy that can really make that happen and happen well. So I'm really excited to see this.
Here's open, man. Here's open.
All right. We talked about the fact that you're doing Predator. It's going on. And I understand there's other books that are coming out. You've got something from AWA, don't you? What book is that?
Yeah, so I have a book coming out. Well, it's tomorrow by the time we're recording this, but it's called Sins of the Salton Sea, which is a sort of a crime / horror book. And it's a 5-issue series that I've been working on, I guess, for a couple of years now. It's another one of those books that I started during the pandemic and is just kind of finally seeing the light of day. And it's it's sort of the ultimate heist gone wrong book. You know, the protagonist, Wyatt, he's a former heistman who has walked away from the life because, you know, we don't get into it right away, but there's some sort of tragedy that happened that caused him to just walk away and sort of move off the grid. He tries to just disappear, tries to have no impact on the world whatsoever. He just moves around from town to town, living in the back of his truck, working under the table, washing dishes or whatever work is sort of available. And where we sort of kick off is his brother, who also used to work with him on the same crew robbing armored cars, tracks him down and pulls him in for the sort of fabled one last job, which is one of my favorite crime tropes. It's the one last score that Wyatt's brother Jasper wants so that he can retire and sort of walk away from the life. Wyatt is reluctant, but feels such an obligation to family that he agrees. And they launch into this armored car heist that goes so badly wrong that as a result, the world might end. Wow. So it goes from, you know, the stakes go from about 100 to 1,000,000 pretty quickly. Wow. We get sort of drug into a world of cults and crime and all that sort of fun stuff. It's a book that's really about sort of our own guilt and what we carry around with us and how that sort of clouds our judgment and sort of informs the decisions we make, whether good or bad, throughout our lives.
So how many issues are in this series?
It's a five-issue miniseries.
5 issues, okay. And the first, it's likely that the first issue is already out. So
yeah, by the time you listen to this, maybe even the second issue might be out.
Okay, well, let's also hope it's not that late and think about it. But so that sounds like an interesting thing. I've always, as I mentioned before, you have worked with several companies at a time, and not everybody can do that. Do you find it easier to shop around stories and get them published rather than try to say stick with one company? Do you prefer it to that, or would you? If you had your druthers, would you rather have everything under one umbrella?
Usually what happens with me is I get, I have a story that I want to do. You know, I'll find a story and usually I'll team up with an artist and put together that initial pitch. And I get really focused on that one story. And so I try and find the best home for that story. And you know, that's not always necessarily, you know, a publisher I've worked with in the past. It might be a new publisher. And sometimes, you know, I'll have conversations with publishers who are interested in working with me. I'm interested in working with them. And then we'll kind of put together something that, you know, fits within their wheelhouse, but is something that's like a story that I'm really interested in telling, like Sins of the Salton Sea is definitely one of those where it's like a story that I had, I really want to tell. I knew it was a good, it might be a tough sell, but you know, I knew that, Axel, who runs AWA, he is a guy who I worked with a bunch at Marvel. I knew he was a crime guy. I knew this is the kind of book that he would be into as much as I was into it. And so that's why I brought it there to see if they'd be interested in doing it. But yeah, sometimes it's a lot going from publisher to publisher, working on books. But I, you know, it really, you're working with different editors at each place. So there's not necessarily a huge difference sometimes.
If
that makes sense.
Right. So one of the companies I think you're also working for is DC, right?
Yeah, well,
you're doing some DC books too. So what DC books are you working on?
Right now, I have three. I've got Batman Incorporated, which is going on right now. So we're just beginning the Joker Incorporated arc, which is, you know, Batman Incorporated is Batman, you know, people around the world who've been inspired by Batman to sort of become vigilantes of the cities. And they're sort of funded through Batman, or in our series, they're funded through Ghostmaker. We wanted to do something that was fun where Joker decides, you know, that, you know, there's no Batman without Joker. So he runs out and sets up Jokers around the world in the same cities that have Batman Incorporated members operating. And so we're in the middle of a war between Batman Incorporated and Joker Incorporated. Wow. I'm doing one of the stories in The Brave and the Bold. I'm working with artist Jeff Spokes. We're doing Stormwatch. So we've relaunched Stormwatch. They're full issue length stories in Brave and the Bold. And we're doing them all as kind of done in one stories, which has been really cool. It's been really an interesting challenge. And it's not something you see a lot anymore in comics. Usually we're telling longer stories.
Right.
But the main spine of the story is that Stormwatch has sort of stepped in to sort of do the things that Justice League can't. But one of the things that they're doing right now is each issue is them going to a different location and trying to recover sort of a different weapon of mass destruction that could be used to wipe out the Justice League, different members of the Justice League. So they're trying to take these weapons off the board. And it's been pretty fun. We've got like a mix of old characters, new characters, and existing DC characters. So Winter and Flint, who were on the original Stormwatch, are here. We have Phantom One, who is a character that we introduced in Batman Incorporated, brought over here. Ravager, who is Deathstroke's daughter. We have Core, who is a new creation for this series, who is a sort of nuclear-powered hero from the Ukraine who looks like he's 16, but is actually about 52. And we have Peacekeeper 01, who was introduced in Batman as a sort of villain. And I feel like I'm missing someone. We have Shadow, who has been a sort of antagonist of Green Arrow's for a long time. So it's been a lot of fun. It's a real fun series to write. I think the characters are a ton of fun to really dive into. The dynamics between the characters is really great. There's a lot of gristle on the bone there for good stories and good character moments. And then I am also writing a two-parter Night Terrors Ravager story. So the Night Terrors world is where a bunch of DC characters are pulled into a sort of nightmare world. And so I've got two issues of Ravager pulled into a nightmare world where she has to protect a younger version of herself against a somewhat familiar nightmarish villains who I'm going to leave. I'm not going to spoil and let the readers discover when they get there.
Okay. You seem to like to work with groups. I mean, certain groups that have been around a while, you come in and breathe some life into them. It seems like Alpha Flight, Batman Incorporated, all these kinds of things. Is that something you particularly enjoy? I mean, some of us get fandoms developing about certain groups, and I always love it when I see them come back. When Batman Incorporated came back, I was ecstatic because I liked Batman Incorporated back when Grant Morrison did it. And so for me, the stuff that you're doing is always great fun because I happen to be fans of the groups that you're working with. Is that something you enjoy doing? Is that something, do you seek it out? Do you pitch it? Or do they just kind of people come to you and say, hey, how about working on this group? How does that work?
Yeah, they're mostly books that come to me. If I'm pitching books or if I'm asking editors, like pitching ideas for like characters I want to write, it's almost always exclusively solo characters or solo books.
Huh.
And for some reason, I almost exclusively get offered team books.
Huh.
And that's not to say I don't like writing team books. It's just always such a daunting task because there's so many plates spinning at all times, right?
Right.
There's so many different characters that you've got to track and make sure that they all get their moments and that you have to worry about the interactions and all that sort of stuff. So it's exhausting. If I'm going to be honest, it's completely exhausting to write team books. And I don't know why editors keep giving them to me. I'd like to hope that it's because I'm doing a good job writing them.
I think that's why.
But it's never anything I would have picked for myself. I tend to be, like when I read books, I tend to be someone who gravitates towards solo characters and less towards team books, which is not to say I don't read team books. I get a healthy dose of team books in my reading as well. But I don't know. I don't know what the deal is.
I think it's because you do it so well, as you were saying. Yeah. I think that you give all the characters their due, and you obviously do the research. Because you can tell that you know what you're talking about with these characters and stuff like that. And that there's a lot of people. Some people, like when they get into a team book situation, they have their favorites and they always highlight their favorites. And every character seems like has their own fan base and stuff like that. And if you don't give certain characters their due, people will start raging about it and stuff like that. But you do this wonderful job. You talked about plate spinning and all that stuff going on. You do a great job of keeping all the plates spinning at pretty much the same speed. And I think that's a great thing.
Well, thanks. Yeah, I do my best, but it's a lot of work, but in the end, I'm always, I've been happy with these books. So happy with everything comes out. So I guess it's worth it.
It is. I have to say it is. Now, okay, so we talked about Marvel, DC, AWA. Are there other books that you're working on that we should be aware of?
There are, but nothing I can talk about at the moment.
Okay.
So, check back in with me in about 5 or 6 months, and I think I can talk about a lot of the other stuff.
Speaking of that, how do we keep up with you as far as like social media and keep up with the projects you're working on?
I think the best place to keep up with me is on Twitter, and it's just @EdBrisson on Twitter. You can check me out on Instagram if you want, and that's at @Ed_Brisson. Another Ed Brisson beat me to the non underscore name. That one is more like photos of food and my garden and my plants and my cats and dogs and stuff. But, I do post some comic book stuff on there, but I primarily Twitter is where I post most of my comic stuff. Folks can check my website, which is just www.edbrisson.com. I list all the cons, appearances or store signings I'll have in a year are all listed there. You can subscribe to my newsletter through there as well, which I try to update about once a month. I'm not always successful at that, but I do my best. So you can get some more sort of insights into what I'm working on and some sort of behind the scenes scoops if you go there.
Okay, that's great. Now, of course, this year now the pandemic has pretty much subsided. Are you going to be going to any conventions this year, the rest of the year, or are you still, you're so busy at home, you really can't do those kinds of things?
Yeah, this is my first year really kind of fully getting back to it. I think the last year I did one show. This year I am doing Moncton, which is upcoming weekend, which by the time people hear this, I'll have been and gone. I am going to be at Montreal Comic Con in July, I believe July 14th weekend. Then I'm going to be in Ottawa Comic Con in September. The weekend before that, I'll actually be Dragon Con. So that's the last weekend of August, first of
September. That's a great con. I have to say, Dragon Con is a wonderful convention. It's in,
this will be my first time. I'm excited.
Get ready to have fun, because it's what's funny is they have like one, when I was there a couple of years ago, they had one floor in one building that was devoted entirely to like comic creators and stuff like that. And there were like five buildings, and the four floors beneath us were all like comic related items in this building. And then there was like two or three floors above us. And we were, a regular convention would have been just that floor, but Dragon Con is, and there's parties going on all weekend. In the middle of the night, you hear music playing and people doing cosplaying going on. It's a real fun environment, I have to say. So I think you might enjoy that one. Just my two cents.
All right, cool. All right, I'm looking forward to it. I've been meaning to go for, I think I was supposed to go originally in like 2015, and just had to keep pushing it for one reason or another. So I'm very excited. And then after that, I'm going to be at New York Comic Con. I won't be tabling, but I'll be doing signings and panels, I believe. I don't know where I'll be signing or what panels, but it's coming up.
Great, because that's my favorite. I had to pick one, even more than San Diego, I like New York, because the difference between San Diego and New York always kills me. If you're in San Diego, the whole downtown is swallowed by the convention. If you go to New York and you walk two blocks away from the Javits Center, they don't know there's a convention going on there.
Sure, yeah.
Which I always get a huge kick out of. Somebody dressed up as the Hulk went into the subways in New York and nobody even noticed. I thought that was hilarious.
No, I really like, I'm a really big fan of the New York show. It's, for me to fly down is only about an hour and a half, I think. And I always have a lot of fun there.
Well, I'm hoping to be there myself, so I'll try to find you while at the convention and say hi. But Ed, you're doing wonderful stuff, man. You are all over the board and doing good stuff everywhere. So if you see Ed's name on a comic, I would be sure you buy it, because you're going to get some good storytelling and it's just great stuff. So Ed, keep it up, and man, I can't wait to read some more stuff from you pretty soon.
Thanks a lot, man. I appreciate it.
People need dramatic examples to shake them out of apathy, and I can't do that as Bruce Wayne. As a man, I'm flesh and blood. I can be ignored, I can be destroyed, but as a symbol.
Get the latest from the comics universe. News, interviews, previews, and reviews. Listen to the weekly Wayne's Comics podcast so you can keep reading your comics.
And that's it for this week. Be back next time. We'll have another great interview with another terrific comics creator. But until then, keep reading your comics.